a great charge. You guys are here, John and Kyle, you're going to preach at the mission tonight, and I know you do a good job. You know that God has given you the message, and when God gives you the message, don't stand back to preach it with power and conviction. And all of us need to do that. But as we go to the Word of God today, there's several things I want to consider. Those of you that have been through the book of Deuteronomy and the studies, you know, you've heard Bob say that we have to look around, we have to look behind, and we have to look ahead. Okay? In order to do that, to look around, look behind, look ahead, you have to know where you came from, you have to know where you're at, and you have to know where you're going. And if you're going to be an effective minister of the Word of God, which we all are, you need to keep all those things in perspective constantly. So as we consider that, the message today, we'll consider three things, but we want to look around on Father's Day, we want to look where we're at, and we want to look behind. We have to know where we came from, we have to know where we're at, and we have to know where we're going. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you as a man of stammering lips today. And I pray that you'll take these stammering lips and you'll take your word and the message that you have given me that I can preach to these people of God and that they can take the message, Father, and they can apply it to their lives in a meaningful and effective and powerful way. Dear Father, I thank you for your presence this morning. We claim the promise that you're here with us. And I pray that you touch each and every heart that comes under the hearing of the word today, that you'll take it, you'll grow it, and you'll make it effective and prosperous in their lives. Let me pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. As we go to consider, we're going to do three things today. We're going to go several places in the Word of God. So buckle up, hang on to your seatbelts, and here we go. We're going to consider three things. We're going to consider Cyrus, we're going to consider Sennacherib, and we're going to consider where we are. We're going to consider Rome. And we're going to consider all those things and the things that we are. And as we consider those things, we're going to start, first of all, we're going to consider where we came from. You know, as Old Pass Baptist Church, as every church, we all have a history. There's a history of that. There's a history that brought you all here, and there's a history that goes back to where some of us to where we got saved. As we consider that history, you need to know, some of you need to know, there's a pulpit that stood before here year. This pulpit's been here since the day you walked in the door. Pulpit made of wood. But I want to challenge you, some guys, there's an inscription on this pulpit. You know what that inscription is? You need to know what it means, and you need to know why it's there. Because it's the basis of what we have as a church. And as we go back to the history of Old Pass Baptist Church, you know, you go back to where, again, we have to look behind to look around to look ahead. So in looking back, bear with me if you would for a minute, and go back to the book of Ezra. We're going to start there. We're going to come through Ezra. We're going to go to Nehemiah. We'll be in Acts a little bit. Then we'll finish up. Ezra chapter 1. Actually, we're going to pick it up in 1 Chronicles chapter 36. We'll begin there. And you have to understand where Cyrus is. And the Word of God says, "And thus said Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me. He hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord God be with him and let him go." Cyrus, and this takes place, Cyrus This takes place in 537 BC when Cyrus, king of Persia, who is a type of the Antichrist, one of the major types of the 18 types of Antichrist in the Word of God, had conquered all the world. At that time, Jerusalem was broken down. Jerusalem was broken down, and Cyrus, what Cyrus said, he says, that the Lord God of heaven, so even the man that's a Gentile, not a man of God, God gave him a perspective of where he was at with the things of God. He hath given me and charged me to build him house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is there among all his people, the Lord God to be with him, to let him go. The people of the nation of Israel always had a man. You know, there's always been a remnant. All the way through to God, you've heard Bob preach to you that there's a remnant, there's a line that you're to pass along the Word of God to men who are apt to preach, and that line goes back. Old Past Baptist Church, the history of where it goes back to. You know, Bob says in Jeremiah 16 where he gave you the charge of where the church came from to go back to the old paths. And there's a reason you have to understand where the old paths came from. God passed down through time. You know, there was a time before some of you here or some of you there where God dealt with some of us and God passed down situations to us and God created things that we had. There's some men here that go back to the old paths that they had to consider where they came from. God passed it down. Those men are still here. They know where this pulpit came from. They know why it came. And those guys are here. They have a history. You need to go back to some of those guys who are pillars, who know where things came from. And in Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, it says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, it goes back here, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord God stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, and he made him a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is there among you of all his people, his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let him, the men of his place, help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. This is Father's Day. Old Paps Baptist Church, looking behind, will never be any stronger than the men of the church that God has given it. And we have a remembrance or a reunion Sunday or coming up on July the 8th. And at that time, there's going to be some men of this church that are being given charge. But you know, there were men in the church, and God always goes back to a remnant. And there were some men that God gave his word to, that they're a remnant in a time where Old Past Baptist didn't exist, except in God's heart. As we go back to that time, I'm going to give you that how things were passed down and how you as a young man need to know what those things are, where God came from in dealing with those things, how he brought us to this point, and how he's going to raise you up to be strong men. That we will be no stronger than how you are in dealing with that. It says here in Ezra chapter 1, verse 3, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. If you're going to be a man of God, you have to understand where God is, and you have to know that God is with you. And you have to go back and be willing to be a man, be a strong man, to pay the price and take upon you the commission that God has given you. God is looking. We have stirred Thursday night in Bible study, those of you that were here, that God is looking for the right man in the right place in the right time. Some of you need to be that man. You need to know when God called you. I can go back in my life and know whether there was a time where Old Past Baptist Church didn't exist anywhere but in the heart of God. And there was a time where things were stirred up. There was a remnant in the world, and God came down and shook everything up. Old Past Baptist did in the church. There was a time when some of you don't need to know all the particulars, but there was a time when it wasn't there, didn't exist. There was a time where some men had to stand up, take the Word of God, hold it in their hearts and know what God had called them to do. And you have to do that in your heart and in your mind. He says, and God be with you. You have to know in Ezra, in the world. Cyrus is a type of the world. At this time, what you have to understand is that Jerusalem had been completely destroyed. The men of God had gone into apostasy. The kingdom of Solomon was gone. And God took and he sought to build the kingdom back. He said, go back. The world was under the domination of the kings of the earth, the Gentile kingdoms of the world. And there was a remnant that God wanted the men in Jerusalem to go back to. And what you have to do is take that upon you. We're going to install people as positions of power in this church. And God has called us to go back. God raised up, there's guys to remember, there's guys that know where this pulpit come from. And go with me if you would. Remember, there's Ezra. Ezra took him back. And whatsoever remaineth in the place where he's journeyed, let all the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts and with the freewill offering for the house of the God that is in Jerusalem. Ezra chapter 1, verse 4. Remember those things. Remember those things that God needs to build upon. Turn with me, if you would, bear with me. And I'm going to go with you where the inscription on the pulpit comes from and where we need to be as a church and looking back. Nehemiah chapter 8, and this is the inscription that's on this pulpit, is Nehemiah chapter 8, and it's verses 1 through 8. Nehemiah is the book directly after Ezra. And here, ladies and gentlemen, is where we need to be as a church in the world, in Rome, which we'll go to by the time that we're finished. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book. And Ezra the scribe stood up before a pulpit of wood, which he had made for the purpose beside him, stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urjiah and Hilkiah and Mazaliah on his right hand. On his left hand, Pedaliah and Mishael and Malachiah and Hashem and Heshbonon and Zechariah and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened the book, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces under the ground. And Jeshua and Benai and Sherebiah and Jamin and Akub, Shebaiah, Hodijah, Masiah, Keliah, Ezrai, Joseph, Hanan, Pelilel, and all the Levites caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read in the law, in the book, So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave them sense and caused them to understand the reading. The purpose of where the pulpit stands in Nehemiah 1:8 and the purpose of where we're at is for the Word of God in a dark, godless, vile, an evil world. The purpose for where this pulpit of wood is for the man of God And it talks about the men here were with God, and the men went back, and the people, verse 1, gathered themselves together as one. That's the purpose of what this pulpit stands for. It was built by a man. It was made of wood. It went back to a day when we preached to a crowd of only 5 people. Some of you know where that came from. There were some of us, there was a day when Bob Alexander couldn't come and preach before you. There was a day, some of you know what that was, and we don't need to go into it, there was a day when God scattered some of his people. There was a day when God called a remnant. And most of that remnant is in this church today. Those are those who remember that. Jimmy Steinmetz, Phil Christie, Jan Hepworth, John Bosquet. There was a day when God brought together some of the men when things were scattered, when things were in a turmoil, when things weren't what they were today. And ladies and gentlemen, and I'll cover this in great detail before we're done today, but you have to understand the great thing that you're given here. You have to understand what God has done for you. You have to understand the tremendous, tremendous, tremendous blessing that God has bestowed upon you. That in this day where we are, and we'll get to this in a minute, in Rome, where all the evil of the world seeks to destroy the Christian, seeks to break them down, seeks to attack their families, seeks to destroy their lives, seeks to indunate them with all the violence of the world, God has called you together with the truth, with the truth of the Word of God is preached, where the truth of the Word of God is given you from men, for holy men of God, men to stand up. You know, there has to be men that stand up for things. There can't be one pastor that does the whole thing. And we'll get into that. I'm not going to steal the thunder of July the 8th. But there has to be men. And I'm going to charge some of you men. You're going to be in places where you have responsibility. And you have to stand behind the man and the men who God have called to bring together for Old Paths Baptist Church. And you have to stand up and you have to be men. And if we stand up and do that and get to that place, you have no idea. You have to have the vision. You have to look behind to know where we got, and you have to look around to know where we are. And then we'll have to look ahead to see where we're going. But in looking back, when the world was gone, when everything was in a mess, where the temple was gone out of Jerusalem, where God had sent the people of God into the world, he even took a Gentile king who was Cyrus, who was of the devil, who was a Gentile man, and he told him, he put it in his heart, there's a remnant of God's people. And when he did that, he told the remnant of God's people, who will stand up for God? There has to be some of you. And they stood up as one back in Ezra number 1. And they got to the pulpit of wood in Nehemiah chapter 8. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one. As one. Into the street, as before the water gate. Water being likened to the word of God. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, the preaching of the word of God, which the Lord had commanded to Israel, given to his people. Understand the dispensation of where we're at. His people. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation. Brought it before all the people. Both of men and women and all that could hear with understanding. They could hear, all the men, all the women that could hear. And had understanding. Hear the word, understand the word. Upon the first day of the 7th month. Now it's Father's Day. Notice it's the first day. Notice when we're supposed to come together. Notice when we're supposed to give honor and glory to God all the time. But you know, God gives us a command to gather together on the first day of the week. The first day of the week, we're to stand up and give all honor and glory to God. We're to do it every day of the week, but that's the first day of the week when God tells us to come together. And going back to that, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, let me digress a little bit. God tells you on doing that and coming together, he says, I beseech you, brethren, of the mercies of God, that you present yourself, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable purpose. When we come together, we're a sacrifice. When we come together on the first day of the week, we're to give our best to God. When we meet here on Sunday morning, when we get together on the first day of the week, when the Word of God is preached, when we stand up and we give understanding and we all come together as one, when we stand before the water gate where we're cleansed with the Word of God, we're to be a living sacrifice under God. And if you don't, gentlemen, go back, charge your families, understand what that sacrifice is. If you're a sacrifice unto God, that is nothing less than the very best that you have to offer, because God would accept nothing less. If you're going to serve God, men, women, but primarily men, you have to become that living sacrifice. You have to become the best that God has to offer. If you're going to become a living sacrifice to God, God doesn't want secondary. God wants your best. And when you walk into the house of God on Sunday morning, if you're not prepared to give your best, if you're not prepared to be your best, if you're not prepared to be that sacrifice, then God probably won't accept that in the long run. God will not use you in the capacity that He can use you to where you want to be an effective offering unto the world. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 3. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Now you have to understand what the Jewish morning is, ladies and gentlemen. This is how undisciplined we have become sometimes in our Christian walk. The Jewish morning started at 6 a.m. Okay? Ezra was behind a pulpit of wood at 6 a.m., preaching the Word of God to the people that understood as one. And he said he preached to them until midday. That's 6 hours. That's till noon. Now, Bob's talked to you gentlemen about discipline in your lives. And I promise you, there ain't one of us that are that disciplined in this room right now. How many of y'all could sit here from 6 o'clock in the morning, beer ready to go at 6 o'clock in the morning, sit here at 6 o'clock in the morning, ready to meet with God at 6 o'clock in the morning and set attentive to the Word of God until midday? None of us. Hello. Not a one of us. Maybe none of us had discipline in this day and age. And that's where we're at. And he read therein before the street, verse 3, before the water gate, from the morning unto midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand. Notice he read before those that could understand. Now, if you want to understand the Word of God, I charge to you that you better have spent some time in the Word of God. Okay? Ezra was standing to preach to men and women for 6 hours that had spent time. They were able to understand. That's what God says here. All week long. And then they brought a man together. He brought them all together. Preached the Word of God to them. They understood. They understood. And if you're going to understand, you better let this Word be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? If you're going to be a man, if this church is going to be successful, if we're going to make a difference in this world for the things of God, and we'll get there in a minute because there's a price to pay. And if you're going to be a man of God, you better understand what that price is. And gentlemen, it is not cheap. You better be tough. You better be one tough dude if you're going to get there. Ezra stood up, went back, or Nehemiah. Well, Ezra, no, it's Ezra. I'm sorry. Bear with me a little bit. Hey, guys, bear with me. I have senior moments every once in a while. Believe it or not, I am eligible for AARP, okay? I do get my cards in the mail. Okay? So, just give me a little latitude from time to time. Okay? Go Go back to verse 3, Nehemiah verse chapter 8, verse 3. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning unto midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And all the ears and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. Attentive, could understand. Book of the law, the word of God was preached. And Ezra the scribe stood up before the pulpit of wood. Oops. I got to be careful about that. I'll be back at the dock. I appreciate you guys that prayed for me this week. Which they've made for the purpose. There's a purpose for the pulpit. There's a purpose for the pulpit of wood. Am I off? Okay, no. And I commend to you, when this pulpit of wood was built, and ladies and gentlemen, it was built a good, we've been here 4 years. This pulpit was around a good 4 years before Old Pass Baptist Church ever existed. I know who built it. I'm going to charge you to find out. Because if you're going to be a leader of this church, you need to understand where the remnant came from. I understand why I put the commission on here. This commission's been on this pulpit since some of us preached behind it all the way back to 1999. Okay? Pulpit of wood. It was built for that purpose. We didn't exactly know those men. They didn't exactly know Old Pass Baptist Church was going to exist someday. They had no idea. But I tell you what they did know. They did know that God had called them to do a work. They did know that God had charged them to preach the Word of God. They did know in a lost and dying world that they had to hold their families together. They did know that God was going to do something with them. And they did know that someday there was going to be a church that stood up and was powerful for the Word of God. And those men that did know, one of those men built this pulpit. And he built that pulpit, and they preached, and they preached, and they preached, and they preached. And primarily, they were preaching to survive, I can tell you that, okay? They were preaching to take care of their families. But in those days that they were preaching, God sowed the word that someday he knew that Ray was going to be here. He knew Steve was going to be here. He knew that Kyle Powers was going to be here. He knew that Steve Peterson was going to be here. He knew that Harry was going to be here. God knew. We didn't know. Those men didn't know. But they did know one thing, that God gave them a commission. And if you're going to be a man of God, you have to know exactly when God gives you that commission. You have to know exactly when it is. You have to know exactly what it is. And you have to have the guts to follow it. Okay? Because you don't always know where it's going to take you. And that's where the pulpit came from. And notice there were men around him. There were men around him that, you know, I can't pronounce all these names, and Bob Alexander can't either, so I'm in good company. Okay? But those men were there, and those men are here today. Those men are here. They supported Ezra when he got up and preached the Word of God. They were men, and we'll go there. God wrote their names down. God wrote their names down in the New Testament, but before we finish today, we'll get there. The names are there. God knew they were going to be there. God knew that all the men, they're going to have be responsible men in this church. God knew when this pulpit was built that you were going to be here. God knew that he had to have men that would preach the Word of God, that would hold true to the Word of God, that would keep the thing together, that would bring the church here. And he gave you a pastor who's not here today, who's devoted and given his life and has gone through things that some of you would never be able to deal with in your entire lives. That he could stand here and he could preach to you and he could pour his soul out to you, that you could be victorious in this vile, filthy world that's controlled by Rome. Verse 5, Nehemiah. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. They knew what the power of the Word of God was. They gave honor and glory to God. Now, I'm not recommending that you all stand up, okay? But they gave reverence when reverence was due. That's the point. And Ezra blessed the Lord. Notice who gives honor and glory to. The great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Okay, Old Testament. You know where old men, amen, came, old men, old, amen, Freudian slip, amen came from? With lifting up their hands. God, give me a thought, but I ain't going to go there. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They gave reverence where reverence was due. Also, Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah and Jamin and Akab and Shebahiah and Hodijah and Messajiah and whoever this guy was, Kalita and Azariah and Josabab and Hanan and Pelaliah and the Levites, men of God, priests called to minister the word of God, caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. Now come back to where this place here references. Don't forget it. We'll come back to a minute. And cause the people to understand the law. You have to be able to cause the people of this church to understand the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, that is not entirely Bob Alexander's responsibility. And we'll get there in a moment. We're going there. Bear with me. I got some time here. Okay? That is the responsibility of each and every man in this church. Ladies, I'll get to you in a moment, but I'm speaking to the men for right now. And we'll get to there, and we'll find out if you got what it takes to be a man of God. Okay? We'll get there in a few moments. We'll find out. But I'm going to tell you what. If this church is going to be a positive force, if this church is going to be powerful, if this church is going to reach the world for Christ, and we'll get there in the book of Acts, in the church of Thessalonica, in the church of Jason, where Paul preached, it was known, and go back and find out where Thessalonica is. Thessalonica is in Asia, which is in Turkey, which is right in the middle of the Muslim world today. Okay? And if Satan was there today, I promise you he's been around a long time. He was there then. And those men, and they knew the testimony of what Paul preached at Thessalonica. Okay. Bear with me just a moment. I learned from an old grizzled man of God a long time ago. You're going to say something, you better have book, chapter, and verse. Okay? And it wasn't Bob. And this grizzled old man when came and preached to us. You were pregnant with child number one, weren't you, Jan? What? Weren't you, didn't have child number one when we heard, when Mel came in?
Yeah.
Okay. Grizzled old guy. Gravelly old voice. Rough around the edges, I promise you. Okay. And I can hear him right now. Boy, if you're going to preach it, gentlemen, if you're going to be a man of God, right, Johnny? You better know book, chapter, and verse. So let's go there. Acts chapter 17. You don't have to go there, just listen. Okay? It's on the tape, as Bob says. All right? And this occurs at Thessalonica. Okay? Acts chapter 17, verse 5. It says, "But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, and took upon them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort, and gathered a company, and set it all upon the city of an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And then when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and all those do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, There is one other king, one Jesus." Okay, mark that down. We're going to go to Rome in a moment. Okay? Mark it down, because if you're going to be a man of God, you're going to get attacked by Rome. You're going to get attacked by people who are moved with envy. "And they took upon them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason." Mark it down. If you're going to be a man of God, you're going to preach the things of God, your house is going to come under assault, fellas. Your personal house and this house. You better be prepared to protect it. Father's Day message, here we go. Okay? "And assaulted the house of Jason." But here's the point. "And when they found them not," they do Jason, verse 6, when they found them out, they drew Jason and certain brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down." Okay? Now, the world was a big place back then. The world was controlled by Rome back then. And if you don't know who Rome was, Rome is the greatest enemy that Christianity has ever had. Amen. Rome has sought to wipe Christianity out from the day that it was formed. From the day that Christianity set foot, was God placed the Christianity upon them, and they were first called Christians at Antioch. Christians being little Christs. So there's your example. Okay? There's your model. The thieves have turned the world upside down. We run maybe on an average day around here 150, including everybody, including kids and everything, 150 people. We're just a small little group. But there were only 13 of them back when Jesus first walked the earth. And one of them was Satan's tool. And when that group took full hold of the power of God, at this point, if you go back in the book of Acts chapter 17, you'll find that this setting occurs in Thessalonica. We're back in Nehemiah. It went back to Jerusalem, where it was sent back from Persia. And if you want to know when we get to where we're at, look around if we get there. Okay? And I'll do the best I can, but we may not get there. Persia, Rome. Okay? Where we're at today have not gone away, ladies and gentlemen. They're still there. The same scenario, different place, different time, really still exists. Okay? The world is still there. The world still seeks to stamp Christianity out. The world still seeks to destroy you. And this group of 150 men, women, children, okay, if they so choose, if they allow God to do the work that He wants to do, I charge you, has the power to turn the world upside down. Now, it's your choice whether or not you want to be included in that. And if you choose to be included in that group that wants to turn the world upside down, and we'll get there, you may not be looked upon so great in this world. You may have some things that you have to deal with in this world, and you better be big enough to deal with it. But by goodness, as Paul got the vision, and we'll get there, there's a world to come that lasts forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. And you can choose where you want to be adorned. You can be adorned in this world, but you may have, if you're lucky, 70 years, which is all God promises you. Or you can be adorned for all eternity with the inheritance in the kingdom of God. Your choice. As Bob told you, the man is here. You can take a little, you can take a lot. It's your choice. It's your choice. Turn the world upside down. Let's go back to Nehemiah here for a moment. Verse 8, chapter 1. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly. They didn't pity-patter around. They didn't mealy-mouth around. They didn't come speaking a lie. They had something to say. And if you're going to be a man of God and you're going to be effective in the world, you better have something to say. You're worthless to God. If you're going to be a woman, that's going to be a godly woman, You better have something to say. And you better know, not only do you have something to say, it'd be a good idea you know when to say it too. Okay? Trust me. God will let you know when it's time to speak up. If you got a backbone, when God lets you know it's time to speak up, you better speak up. Because He may only give you one chance. It's all He's accountable for. And when He opens the door, you better be ready to go through it. You better be ready to go through it quick, because it may slam shut fast. And as the proverbial saying goes, don't let it hit you in the behind on the way out. It's not a word of God. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Since I've heard that all my life. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Now that's the purpose of each and every person in here. And we'll get to, let's go. Gentlemen, some of you, ladies, some of you, are in positions of discipleship. You're dealing with people. You deal with them each and every day. And you're given charge to raise those people up, and God has given you responsibility. And we'll get into doctrine. We'll get into where you need to be. We'll need to go to things you need to say. We'll get there later in the message. But let me plant this seed in your brain right now. If you're doing that, you're dealing with people's lives. You're dealing with people's eternity. You're dealing with the people they'll affect for eternity. You better take it serious. And I promise you it is more than, at one time it was 16 lessons. Now it's 10 lessons. It goes there and there. But the bottom line is it's the Word of God, and it's building bases in people's lives. And if you're doing that and you're dealing with one of those people, God help you if you don't know what you're doing. God help you if you don't doctrinally understand where you're supposed to be. God help you if you don't take it serious enough that you're willing to impart your very life in that person. That you're willing to die for that person. That you're willing to give up everything you have for that person. Because John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Okay? But First John, there's another John 3:16. First John 3:16 says, no greater have love this than the man lay down his life for the brethren. Okay? Now it goes back to where that's the martyr's crown and that's a martyr and this or that and the other. But let me propose this to you. You can be a martyr in more ways than just dying a physical death. You can be a martyr and dying to self. If you're going to be a man of God and you're discipling somebody, your time, your life is time. Time is all you've got, and you better use it wisely. If you're sitting with someone, whether it be your children, whether it be your wife, whether it be somebody you're discipling with outside of your immediate family, but in the family of God, you better take it seriously. You better know where you're going with it. You better know how to deal with that person, and you'd be better willing to impart your life to that person. Because if you're not, you've got no business doing it. And God will hold you accountable. You better get it. We've looked behind a little bit, okay? Let's look around a little bit. We look behind, we know where things come from, we know where the pulpit of wood came from, we know that the Word of God was spoke distinctly. Give you a little bit of background of the history of where this church comes. I'm not going to go on all the details. I'll leave it to you to find out some of that stuff. There's some men around here you can ask. They give you some idea. Okay? If you don't want to ask the men, ask Justin, ask Brian, ask Olivia, ask Andrea. Okay? John Bosquet, ask Pam Bosquet. They know we're all, they know. They know. But let's consider this. Let's jump ahead. Old Testament model. Let's go to the New Testament model. Go with me, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You want to be a man of God? You have responsibility in this church. You want to take a stand? You want to stand up for God? Very good. Proud of you. You better understand what you're getting into. You better not be timid. You be very willing to know how it goes and to pay the price and to know what you have to deal with. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. Want to be a leader? Here we go. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as they were appointed to death. For we were made a spectacle unto the world, and to the angels, unto men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even to this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made the filth of this world, of the world, and are the offscouring of things, all things unto this day. Paul goes on to say, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. There are a number of warnings in the Bible. This is one of them. If you're going to be a man of God, better take heed to what God warns you of something. Now, you gentlemen, and all you men, but especially you gentlemen who are going to be in responsible positions, who are going to be leaders, who to this point have some understanding about what's going on, I'm going to charge you right now. Understand where you're going. Understand there's a price. Understand what you have to deal with. And if God has called you to do that, be man enough to deal with it. Be a man. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 4. And I know that all Christians, because pastors that get in the pulpit anymore, preach a flowery sermon to you about God's love and, you know, Jesus loves you. And all these good things, and that's all true. But for the real man of God, we have this stupid, ridiculous conception because we don't understand where we came from. We don't understand that men have paid down through history for the price of the things of the Word of God. If you want to know the price that some of these men paid for what you have today, go back and read Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you haven't read it and you're going to be a leader in this day's world, you better go get it and read it. You better thank God to your lucky stars that you were born in this day and age and time. Okay? Because these men paid this book. What you get preached to, and this is why I tell you, don't ever take this for granted. Know what you have and cherish it. Know what God has given you. You better take hold of it, and you better never let it go, because you're going to have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we will get there, and you're going to have to look at men who paid the price for this book in blood, and their wives who paid for this price of this book in blood, and their children who paid for the price of this book in blood. And if you're going to be a man in this church, and you're going to stand up, and you're going to be a leader, better know what you have to deal with. And you better be a man big enough to stand up and deal with it. Because if you're not, you're useless to God. I'm going to tell you that right now. And you know, we're all sinners. We all have our weaknesses. Psalms chapter 19 tells us that we all have secret faults and we all have presumptuous sins. You know what? God overlooks a whole bunch of that. God forgave all that. Don't let Satan beat you up with that. Be prepared to take a stand. But here's what you got to deal with. You better be ready to deal with it. And you better consider this before all this installation stuff takes place. And you better be ready to deal with it. And you better be ready to pay the price. Because if you want to be effective for God in this day and age, you know what the church that God gave? God gave a charge to all the churches in church history, and we've dealt with some of this. But the charge that was given to the church at Laodicea, which is the time and the place that we deal with, was that God told them, I charge thee to get thee gold tried by fire, that the naked shame of your nakedness do not appear. Do you know that the Laodicean church is the only church in the history of the world that has not paid a price for the Word of God in the blood of their own lives? Nothing. You got it. For you, those of you that have come in, God bless you. It's a wonderful, terrific thing. But you better understand what you've got. And you better not take it lightly. And you better hold on to it for all you're worth. And you better pray God that God loved you enough to bring you here at this time, in this day, in this age. That you have men in this church that love God and they're willing to take a stand and they stand behind their pastor. And you've got a pastor who's given this pulpit that he'll stand up here, that I trust you. That man's paid a price. You better stand up and support him if you're going to be a leader in this church. And if you can't do that, shame on you. And I know most of you can, but you better understand. You better understand. And I'm not Bob Alexander standing up here that you hear every week. I'm somebody who's been around with him for a long time. He married me and my wife. It's been a few years ago. But you know what? He's paid a price. And there are guys that have stood with him that they've paid a price. If you're going to take a stand for the Word of God, you're going to pay a price. And you better be man enough to deal with it. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as we were appointed to death. These guys dealt with a physical death. There have been people all the way down through history that have dealt with a physical death. At this point in time, for taking a stand for the Word of God in the United States of America, which is the last place on the face of the earth left, that you may not be faced with a physical death for taking the stand for the Word of God. And I'm telling you, look around, because that day may not be around forever, okay? There are those, and I'm not going to preach you a political message, but there are those who everything that goes wrong with this country blames on a far right-wing conspiracy, okay? And guess who they're going to tell you who the far right wing is? It's going to be the Christian, okay? Trust me, I know a little bit about history. When this Word of God began to originally flourish, Rome was in power. Nero was the emperor of Rome. Nero was the vilest, cruelest, wickedest examples. One of them, the Bible says Ahab was the wickedest, but Nero was pretty close, okay? A vile individual. Rome was falling down around his ears, okay? He needed somebody to blame Rome's problems on. The United States of America, which is the last bastion of free Christianity on the face of the earth, has fallen down around our ears. Rome chapter 1, verse 7, Paul addresses, and if you'll go back and check all the examples, and this is, I'm getting a little bit ahead, but this is where God brought it up, so here's where we're going to go, is that Paul addresses all the rest of the churches of the books. And some of you have heard this, some of you haven't. But he addresses all the rest of the New Testament to the church in Paul's writings, to the church to be at Thessalonica, to the church to be at Galatia, to the church to be at Ephesus, to a particular place. Okay? The book of Romans, which is the book of doctrine for the New Testament church, is addressed to those that be in Rome. Now, for those of you that understand the language, English. He didn't say at Rome. He didn't give you a place. He gave you a destination. He didn't put you a specific place at a specific time. He said, those that be in Rome, you're there. Okay? Rome has never gone away, ladies and gentlemen. Rome killed Jesus. Rome sought to destroy the Word of God. Rome is in power today. As Bob says, they hide those things and that information in things called books. Just go read it a little bit. It's there. Understand where your government is today. Understand where you are at today. Understand if you're going to be a man of God, what you may have to deal with today. And that's the warning that I'm going to give you from the Word of God. Back to the book. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. For I think God has set us forth the apostles last that were appointed to death. For we're made a spectacle unto the world, and the angels unto men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. But ye are wise in Christ. We're weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even to this present hour, right now, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffered. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things in this day. I write these things not to shame you, but my beloved sons, I warn you. If you're going to be a leader, if you're going to be a man of God, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth of the state that he was in, that he went through, so that they could be strong in the Word of God. If you're going to be a man of God, and you're going to take a stand for the Word of God, and you're going to accomplish something for the Word of God, don't think that the world is going to love you. You're not going to be a popular guy. They're going to attack you. They're going to revile you. They're going to lie about you. And the day may come where they seek to kill you and destroy you and throw you in jail. Are you man enough to deal with it? If you're not, bow out now. It's coming. It will come. The charge was given to the church of Laodicea. Off-scaring, okay? Paul. And there are two revelations in the Word of God. We just went through one, okay? The book of Revelation. There's another revelation given in the New Testament. I ain't going to tell you where it is. You go find it. It's there, okay? And it's a little longer than just the book of Revelation. Paul revealed to the men so that they could be strong, to the church at Corinth, which wasn't a strong church doctrinally. Paul's given them some warnings. That's why he gave them the warning. And I know that we think that we're the strongest people on the face of the planet, but let's face it, we live in the Laodicean church age. Okay? Let's be realistic about, look around. Here's where we are. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's God put us here for a particular place, a particular time, for a particular purpose. I'm just telling you, know where you're at. Okay? We are fools for Christ's sakes, but you are wise in Christ. If you're going to be a man of God, you have to become a wise fool. Okay? But you have to sell out. Doesn't mean be a fool. It means be a fool for Christ's sake. Okay? Don't be stupid. But know what you're trying to accomplish. Know where you want to go. Know what God has called you to do and sell out for it. In that case, you better be willing to do whatever God tells you to do. Go wherever God tells you to go. Put up with whatever God tells you to put up with. Because Paul got it. You know, if you go back and read, Paul says, I count all things as dung that I might regain Christ. Okay? Dung's a pretty good euphemism. Okay? Paul was a wise guy, pretty nice guy. He knew what to say and when to say it. He knew how to use the language, but he knew how to get his point across. Okay? But he knew where he was going. He knew what God had called him to do. And God, when God calls you to do something, he'll lay it out for you. He will. He won't always tell you exactly what's going to happen, because if he did, you would probably run and hide. Okay? But you better be a man. You better be a man. If God calls you to do something, you better be a man. And I mean be a man. That means protect the women. That means be a man. Know what to deal with. Know how to deal with. Put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, and deal with it. Paul did. Paul knew what he had to do. God showed him all the things he was going to have to go through. And Paul counted as all but lost that he might gain Christ, because the things that you put up with in this world, that you deal with, that you accomplish what God wants you to do. Go read Revelation chapter 21, 22. Go look at what the crowns are that you get. Go look at what you're going to be adorned with for all eternity. Put up with it. Deal with it. Get the job done. Are you going to stand naked before the judgment seat of Christ and you're going to have to give an account to all those people that did get it done, that did die, that did suffer all this stuff? Offscouring. Paul, a great man of God. You know what offscouring is? All the Barb Christie knows what offscouring is. All you women that clean know what offscouring is. You to wash the toilets. You guys that have been janitors. All the gunk that goes down the drain of your sink. It's offscouring. Junk. That's how Paul, think Paul was a popular guy in the world. So the world looked at him. Deal with it. You want to know where you're at? You want to be a man of God? Deal with it. Put some steel in your backbone and be a man. Some of us learn this different ways and different things. I can only relate to you how this helped me and how you need to deal with these things. All of you deal with it in different areas. Some of you know you want to deal with how to be a man and stand up for things. Don't whine about what the umpire does on Saturday night. Go be an umpire. Okay? Want to know how to deal with it? Go be an umpire. Everybody has to learn different things in different ways. And I got to come out of this thing. For me, I love the game of football. I've loved the game of football since I was a little kid, okay? And to me, I mean, what other legal way could you go knock the soup out of somebody, okay? Just knock him on his keister. Pow! It's legal. It's fun. Okay? You know, I started playing when I was a little kid. I was fortunate. I got to play all the way through college. I mean, God was good to me, although I wasn't a saved guy back then. But you know what? He deals with us all in different ways. Some of us he's sent to the army, okay? Some of us he's put us in different positions in our job. I'm dumb. He made me an official, okay? I thought, this will be cool. You know, I'll put on a striped shirt. I'll be important. I'll go out. This will be fun. Okay. Boy, did I have a lot to learn, okay? Put on a shirt. Yeah, you'll make anybody happy. Okay, you're under scrutiny constantly. You always do the wrong thing. You're blind. Okay. Or one guy told me I stunk. I said, well, I don't really think so. I did shower before I came out here today. But, man, it's neither here nor there. But let me tell you what it does. Let me tell you what it does. And you know, I've dealt with this in different ways. Some of you had to go to the army. Some of you had to just deal with certain things. Some of you, God had to just pick you up and bat you around a little bit. Okay? But if you're going to be a man of God, you have to do two things. You have to know how to stand up for what's right. Okay? Because you have to know what the parameters of what you're dealing with are. And you have to be able to make order out of chaos. Okay? And you have to be willing to be an unpopular guy to accomplish that. If you're going to be a man that takes the stand of God, okay, official, you have to, manual's about yay thick, not quite as thick as this manual, but it's pretty thick, okay? You got to know it. Not only do you got to know it, you have to deal with making order out of chaos. You got bodies flying around everywhere, okay? And they all want to cheat, trust me, okay? Because they all want an advantage. And the world wants to cheat because the world wants an advantage. and it's chaos, you got to make order out of it. Not only do you have to make order out of it, you got to make it order out of it right now. You got to know the rule. Not only do you have to know the rule, you have to know exactly when the rule applies. You have to know God knows how many situations. You have to know exactly what applies. You have to know exactly when to take the yellow flag and make order out of the chaos. You got to do the same thing as a man of God. You got to do the same thing. World's chaos. World's in a mess. You going to be a man of God? You got the rule book. You know what it is. You got to be willing not to be a popular guy. You got to take a stand. You got to make order out of chaos like that. Because if you don't, somebody's going to get killed in this war. In this game, somebody's going to die. Maybe not physically, but you're going to die spiritually. And if you die spiritually and cause somebody else to die spiritually, you affect that guy's entire eternity. Go be a man of God? Know where you're at. Know where you came from. Know where you're going. Being defamed, we entreat. Bear stand, be a man. They're going to beat you down. Know how to deal with it. Lift them up. Because why? Because the end result, let's go on a little bit in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet we have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus have begotten you through the gospel. Preached to them, got saved, dealt with them, grew them up. Where I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Better find out who you're following. Better know who you're following. Better know why you follow them. And if it's the right guy and it's the right man and it's the guys God called, you better hold on and for dear life and follow them all the way to the end, because that's where God puts you. Paul, for this cause I've sent unto you Timothy. Sent some of you men. He sent you someone to disciple you. He sent you a preacher to get you saved. He sent somebody to disciple you. To grow you up, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. He shall bring you unto all remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. There's another preacher. Bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach you everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know the speech of them which are puffed up, and know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Here we go. Here's the point. For the kingdom of God is not in word. Talk, 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 talk. I mean, you can turn on TV and get all kinds of talk. You can get all kinds of teachers. Better find you a preacher. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Do you have the power of God in your life? You want to be a preacher? You want to be a man of God? Don't talk it, walk it. Don't talk it, walk it. Be a man of God. Pay the price, deal it up. For the kingdom of God is not in word. It ain't what you say, it's how you what you do. It's how you do it. It's in power. Not in word, but in power. Excuse me just a moment. I got some time. Look behind. Know where you came from. Know where you're at. Be willing to pay the price. Look around. Look behind. Now let's look ahead a little bit. Go with me to Romans chapter 16, if you would. We'll camp out there for the rest of the time. Romans chapter 16. We're in Rome. For those that be in Rome, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be in Rome till we're raptured out and the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Okay? That's where we'll be. But God wrote these things down, and God singled some people out, and God wrote some names down so you would have some examples of people who took a stand, for people who stood up, for people who were there. Okay? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, just bear with me. You don't need to go there. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Okay? So if he's saying something, it'd be real wise to pay attention. It says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And I say that to say this. God doesn't write anything trivial down. If God gave you these examples down that I'm going to go to in Romans chapter 16, God didn't do it idly. He gave them to you for a purpose. So let's start in verse 1. Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Caesarea. He gives the specific place and he tells what they specifically did. That you receive her and the Lord has become a saint. And that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she had been a succor of many and of myself also. Now when Paul wrote this, Paul was in jail. The context of where he's at can be found in Acts chapter 28, verse 16 to the end of the chapter. I'm not going to read that to you, but go back and study it out after the message is over. It will give you the context of where Paul was when this was written. Okay? But he mentions Phoebe. He mentions that she's a servant. He mentions give to her assistance in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she had been a succor of many and of myself also. So here's where the ladies come in. Okay? Succor means, and you can go look it up in the dictionary, which is what I tell the kids at school to do. Mr. Hill, what's that mean? God gave you a dictionary, go look it up. Okay? Know what the language says. Because God didn't put down an idle word. He wanted you to know what it was. A succor is someone who helps someone in great time of strife or distress. Paul's in jail. I would say he's in some distress. Okay? From where he was, Rome eventually killed him. Okay? For what he preached, he was willing to take a stand. And you had some dear lady who was attending to his every need. And here's where the church comes in, because Paul told the church to assist her in whatever she needed. Example, model. Someone is living the Word of God. If you've got a dear, kind lady who's in a household, who is assisting God's man, who's willing to stand up for God's man, it's the church's responsibility to whatever situation she's in to take care of her. Okay? It's a responsibility of the church, and a lot of churches have lost sight of this day and age. If you're going to be a man of God, understand. Understand where you're at, understand where you're going, understand what the responsibility is. And he goes on. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Jesus Christ. And you'll notice, we'll go on here, and I'm going to read all these things to you. But he wrote all these people's names down. He didn't just say some people. He specifically named the people. Okay? And that's here, the last chapter or the last book of the book on doctrine of the New Testament. God's trying to tell you something. He says, you know what the thing is? You take care of the things of God, and you take care of God's people, and you take care of God's man. God's going to write your name down somewhere, and it's going to be somewhere that's important. I can't think of anywhere more it's important than right here in the Word of God. The model is there, ladies and gentlemen. God will know who you are. God will give you your eternal reward. You have to be the servant here. Give it up here or give it up there. Eternity's a long time. I can give up a few things here to get it there. Okay? If you want the shame of your nakedness to appear, I don't think I want to walk around for 1,000 years dealing with all the people that had to be dealt with for this book, for the things of the Word of God. You get it right eventually, but I don't want to do it. I don't think any of you want to do it, okay? Get it right. Get it right now. Greet Priscilla, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life, Paul's life, laid down her own necks. 1 John chapter 3. Are you willing to die, give up your life for the brethren? Okay? And I'm just going to throw this out. John chapter 13, verse 35. We as Christians knock ourselves out for the unsaved world, and that's all fine and good. But you know how God, you know how people of the world really, really want to know where the power of God is? You know my disciples by the love you have one for another. You want to make an impact for the world of God? You got Old Pass Baptist Church. You better love the people here. And you better love the people here more than you love the people of the world. And that example is what will bring the people of the world here. What they got that I don't got? This is garbage. You guys deal, we all deal with it. We deal with that nonsense every day. Wherever we go, wherever we deal on our jobs. People are vile, man. Okay? So are we, but so are we. We just got something they don't got. Yeah. So are we. Don't puff yourself up. You know, there's none not righteous, none not one. Don't get too carried away with the deal as a Christian, okay? Back, the only thing that separates you from them is the grace and the love of Christ, okay? Don't get too carried away. Don't carry too puffed up with your own importance, because you get on serious territory if you do that. Other message, other time, other place. Okay? Who for my life hath laid down their own necks, and to whom only I give thanks, also all the churches, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. There was a place and time where people met in people's houses, believe it or not. Okay? Don't get so foolish to think that that could never happen. Okay? Don't get so foolish to think that that cannot happen. I pray to God it doesn't. I really do. But I've seen the day. Let's take it from this wise old grumpy old man. Okay? I've seen the day when that was necessary. Okay? Cherish what you have, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on to it with all your might. Be thankful that God has brought you here. Stand up for the man that God has put before you to preach the Word to you. Stand up for those that are teaching you the Word of God. You might want to go back and study 1 Corinthians chapter 10 if you want to be a successful church. Better watch the divisions. Better be sure they don't exist. Better watch your mouth. Make sure it says the right things. We're all sinners. Know where you're at. Look around, look behind, look ahead. You go read it for yourself. That's another sermon. I could go forever on that deal. Okay? Know what comes out of your mouth. You're responsible for every idle word. We all make mistakes. We're all sinners. Don't beat yourself up. You know, you're going to slip. We all do. We all say things that we shouldn't. We all do it. We're all sinners. We're all vile. But I charge you, especially if you're going to be a man and a person of responsibility, and then you guys have been told this. I'm not telling you anything you haven't already been told. You've got to watch it. Got to know what to say. Got to know when to say it. Be careful. Be careful. Don't let Satan trip you up. Watch what you do when you disciple people. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. Just watch it, because Satan gets in and tries to foul things up. Be careful. Know where you're at. Know what you're dealing with. Likewise, greet the churches in their house. Don't be so foolish to think that that might not happen someday. Hope to God that it doesn't. I pray to God, and you better pray too, that it doesn't. But there was a case when it did, and we're in Rome. Be aware of what's going on. Then he goes on, salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is in the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor upon us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. Okay, there's some people who were in jail with Paul. He said salute them. They were in jail. They weren't looked on very kindly by the powers that be. They're in Rome. They're in jail. Not a nice place to be. Paul said, look upon them. Salute them. My fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who were also in Christ before me. There's where they're at. There's where they're at in God's eyes. Well, I want to go back and study 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you want to be a successful church, better watch the divisions. Better be sure they don't exist. Better watch your mouth. Make sure it says the right things. We're all sinners. Know where you're at. Look around, look behind, look ahead. You go read it for yourself. I ain't going to, that's another sermon. I can go forever on that deal. Okay? Know what comes out of your mouth. You're responsible for every idle word. We all make mistakes. We're all sinners. Don't beat yourself up. You know, you're going to slip. We all do. We all say things that we shouldn't. We all do it. We're all sinners. We're all vile. But I charge you, especially if you're going to be a man and a person of responsibility, and then you guys have been told this. I'm not telling you anything you haven't already been told. You've got to watch it. You've got to know what to say. You've got to know when to say it. Be careful. Be careful. Don't let Satan trip you up. Watch what you do when you disciple people. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. Just watch it, because Satan gets in and tries to foul things up. Be careful. Know where you're at. Know what you're dealing with. Likewise, greet the churches in their house. Don't be so foolish to think that that might not happen someday. I hope to God that it doesn't. I pray to God, and you better pray too that it doesn't. But there was a case when it did, and we're in Rome. Be aware of what's going on. Then he goes on. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is in the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor upon us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. Okay, there's some people who were in jail with Paul. He said salute them. They were in jail. They were looked on very kindly by the powers that be. They're in Rome. They're in jail. Not a nice place to be. Paul said, look upon them. Salute them. My fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who were also in Christ before me. There's where they're at. There's where they're at in God's eyes. The world's eyes, they're just an old jailbird. Careful. Know what your relationship is and hold on to it. Don't ever let it beat you up. Don't ever let it defeat you. Know where you stand. Know where you are. Don't let the devil destroy you and beat you up. Greet Amplius, my beloved, in the world. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. And Stachius, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodias, my kinsman. Greet them which be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Cryopsa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother in mine. Salute Anstrichinus, Phlegius, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia and Eurus and his sister and Olympus and all the saints who which are them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches in Christ salute you. That's what they stood for. That was their testimony. That's what Paul charged them to do. Paul wrote all their names down. God gave you a record. Be a servant. But now Paul gives them a charge. Here's that word beseech again in verse 17. Beseech means I beg of you, I charge of you. I don't know how to explain it. You need to look it up. But beseech means that I exhort you. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary which the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Doctrine's critical. Doctrine is unbelievably important to where our success is as a church. And doctrine is no more than knowing what the Word of God teaches and how to apply it. But if you're going to be a leader, you better know doctrine. You better know how to deal with it. You better mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. How do you learn the doctrine? Study. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study. Study. To show thyself approved unto God. Now I've drawn a blank. I haven't known this verse all my life. Now when I need to say it, I told you I have an ARP moment every now and then. Don't believe me? Ask my wife. The workman. Thank you. That needeth not to be ashamed, righty, divine word. Thank you. What's the deal when you're an actor? Line. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. First thing, study to show thyself approved unto God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to be a leader, a man of God, you only need approval of one person. Pretty important person, but you need it, you only need God's approval. But you get God's approval by studying to show thyself approved. And by studying means know the doctrine. Know what the Word says. In the context of what study says in that particular case, means that a study is a complete exhaustive analysis of the subject matter at hand. That's what study means. A study means I know it inside out, frontwards, backwards, forwards, upside down, and in pink. Sorry, Jimmy. Bubba already got you for the pink, so it means nothing. It's just a statement. Fellas, if you're going to be leaders, you better study to show yourselves approved. Because God is going to hold you accountable. And you better be approved unto God. Know who you seek your approval from, and your approval is not from men. It's from God. There's nothing wrong with seeking the approval of God's man, but you better know who God's man is, and you better know how to deal with it. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. A workman is someone who is a skilled craftsman. It's a laborer, but in God's eyes, it's a skilled craftsman. And what you need to be as a man of God is a skilled craftsman. The temple of God, Old Testament, in Jerusalem. Old Testament there. Took Solomon 7 years to build it. You need to go back and read what Solomon built it with. He built it with the best. He had the best materials. He had the best craftsmen. He had the best of everything. And he built it. Temple never went away, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to close with this. Okay? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Or chapter 6, I'm sorry. God has taken this a little different direction than where I was wrote it down on my outline, but that's what the Holy Spirit does. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. All of you know what it is, I hope. But let's go through it for just a moment, and we'll close with that. Wise master builder. I study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly divide it, know it, build on it. Because you're to be a wise master builder, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, gold, silver, precious stones, and where does that temple exist? Close here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Paul asks a question. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? There's the temple. That's where it exists. It's in you. Better know how to build it. Better know how to array it. Better do it right. Why? Which you have of God, given of that, and you're not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. I am not mine. If you're a man of God, you are not your own. You gave that up the day you got saved. God sent His Son down, endured the shame of the cross. You better know what the cross meant, because He endured the shame of the cross. He endured that. Ray sang about it today. There's power in the blood, but you know where there's a power. Answer me this. Does the power of God come from the cross? You're saved from there. Do you know where the power of God comes from? 1 Corinthians chapter comes in the resurrection. Raised you up. Bought you with His blood. Raised you up. I'm not mine. I'm bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not yours. You're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. You better be a wise master builder. You better be willing to pay the price, because Christ paid it for you. Men through down through history paid the price in blood. Amen. They died. They were tortured. Their kids were thrown from hogs to eat. Understand it, ladies and gentlemen, and pray to God you don't have to deal with it. But you better take a stand. You better know where you are. You better look behind. You better look around. You better look ahead, because people's lives depend upon it for all eternity. The victory of this church depends upon it for all eternity. You've been given a great thing, ladies and gentlemen. You've been given a church. You've been given a man. And you've been given a word. Don't ever take that lightly. Don't you dare ever take that for granted. Don't you dare ever let my Lord have suffered in vain because you're not man enough or woman enough. And men, you better be willing to protect the doctrine of your own home. You're going to be a leader. You're going to be a man for God. You better protect that house. You better protect that wife. You better protect that family. You better know what you're dealing with. You better hold on to it. Ladies, you want to deal with it right? And we'll close here. You better trust your husband. God put you in there. You make him be responsible. Let me tell you how it works. Go study 1 Corinthians. You're covered with Christ. Christ covers the man. The man covers the wife. The man covers the house. You cover your family. You better not take it lightly. You better consider it. You better know what it is. And you're going to be a leader in this church. You better not take it lightly at all. Women, you want to learn how to make this church strong? Trust your husband. You got a word in the Word of God? You want the doctrine right? Men, you better know it. You better know it. Ladies, you better trust your husband. You got a question? There's the guy you need to go with it. Doctrinally, keep it pure. You keep it pure. Don't depend on this man to keep it pure. He will. But you're going to deal with your own house. You want this church to be strong. You want this church to turn the world upside down. You do it. You do it. Ladies, you got a question in the Word of God? Go ask your husband. Husbands, you don't know the question? You don't know the answer? You better find it out. You want to be a man of God? You better know it. You're responsible for that house. You're responsible for that church. You better know it. You want to be a deacon? You want to be an elder? You want to be a preacher? You better know it. You better know how to deal with it. Now, men, your lady, wife comes in. I know how it goes. I've been around. I've dealt with it. I know how it goes. Believe me. My wife is the Bible answer man. She's got a lot of questions. But I tell you what, she knows it. She knows it. And a lot of you ladies know it. A lot of you men better get it. Wives, go ask your husband. Make him responsible. Hold him accountable. Ask him the question. He's supposed to know the doctrine. He's going to be a leader. He better know it. Now, men, if you don't know it, don't be a fool. Learn it. Study. Holy Spirit of God will give you the answer. John chapter 15, 14, 13, he'll bring it all to remembrance. You study it, he'll give you the answer when you need it. Better know it. Better study it. Better not take it for granted. Now, men, if you don't know it, here's how it works. Then go ask your pastor. I'm not saying cut the pastor. You know, you can't do that. My goodness. You've been given the riches of a man who knows the Word of God far beyond you'll ever comprehend until you get to the judgment seat of Christ. But that's how it works. You better get it down. Because if you don't get it down, Satan will come in and chew it up, spit it out, kick you every which way but backwards. And you want to be effective for God? That's the way it works, ladies and gentlemen. Look around. Look behind. Look ahead. Let's pray.